It is better to give than to receive, so the old slogan goes. It is better to give than to receive. That's very true. There is something special about giving, special in terms of emotions, feelings, gratitude, and even return. For a gift to someone is something that person does not have, and they very much want, or more importantly, need. And then it's really good to give. There are indeed many ways to give. One can give, of course, money. And so many do, and that's a good thing. One can also give a product or a service, and both are good. One can also give time, and perhaps the giving of time, special time, is the best of all gifts, perhaps because it's a rare gift. One can also give expertise, advice, counseling, educating, like a lawyer with a heart defending a fellow human being with no money. Or Sunday school teachers teaching scripture and the right way of life. Teachers tutoring on their own time. Plumbers, electricians, carpenters working pro bono for entities like Habitat for Humanity. Building homes for the homeless. Wonderful examples of giving. Most of us give money, whether large or small, and so many of us, people of faith, we tithe, whether 10%, more or less. Money seems to be the basic means of giving, and that's a good thing. A gift, a real gift, comes from the heart. A gift comes with loving intentions, like at Christmas, where God came down in the form of Jesus Christ and gave humanity the supreme gift, the babe of Bethlehem. Small wonder then in return that the divine admonition was that we the people, should love the Lord our God with all of our heart, our strength, and our mind, and our neighbor as ourselves. Three things: love God, love our neighbor, and be sure to love yourself. Love begets love, love from the giver and love from the receiver. 'Tis the season not just to be jolly, but to give. So many give at year-end, perhaps for two primary reasons. First, the donor knows where he or she stands financially at year-end and what amount can be given. That seems prudent, well-planned, and wise in the making. But another reason for year-end giving is tax-driven. We can determine how much and to whom we give and chart the tax consequences, the benefits of the gift as a tax deduction. It seems as though the charitable giver can make the gift and take the tax deduction without tarnishing the motivation for the gift itself. Such a gift allows the civil side, governments at all levels, to participate by contributing tax considerations as a result of the gift itself. And that's a good thing. Some people feel that the less for government, the better. Therefore, participating in the gift, the government does, and that's a good thing. Compounding that gift as such, that is, making it larger and better. No matter the posture of his administration, it is good for Obama and company to allow IRS-driven deductions for gifts to Christian and conservative organizations, don't you think? Kind of ironic, isn't it? A Lois Lerner IRS has made that much more difficult, but it is done, no matter. And it is done for the right reasons and for the good. 2,000 years ago, wise men came bearing gifts, the best of the times. They brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, incredibly expensive in those times, to honor the babe of Bethlehem. Nothing, these wise men thought, nothing but the very best for this Son of God. Giving, like these wise men did, is interesting, for the more we give, the better we give, and the more we get. Giving done right is its own reward. Those who receive can be grateful and thankful, but, you know, that really isn't necessary. The reward to the donor is in the act of giving itself, especially when that giving is in abundance, well beyond the minimum, well beyond the 10% requirement. That's real giving from the heart. Many believe that a tithe, the 10% requirement, is a minimum. More than that should be given to others, to charitable works, to Christian works, and to the Lord of glory, the babe of Bethlehem. More and much more. In fact, for people of faith, there is the biblical admonition that one in faith and hope and love should be ready at all times to give all, to lay all on the altar. All possessions, all things, even life itself. Boy, that's hard to do, isn't it? For that is the ultimate gift, that one should lay down his life for another, as occurred for all mankind in 33 A.D. The accumulation of worldly goods accomplishes little. To be a wise investor, one should lay up treasures in heaven, where moth does not corrupt nor thieves steal. Giving with heaven in mind produces eternal returns here and now, and forevermore. Recall, if you will, the widow's mite. Others in the process gave more, one at a time, waiting for acknowledgement. But none came, for it was all about the amount, the money, and not the heart. And then came the widow, offering a mere mite, worth very little, but it was all she had. And that gift was acknowledged. That gift had eternal ramifications. For those who read Scripture remember her story of giving forevermore. She gave all she had. We get more satisfaction, more spiritual reward when we give from our necessity rather than from our abundance. It is so much easier to give when one has much, and so hard when one has little. There are those who do well financially, who prosper greatly and accumulate enormous sums of wealth. There are men like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates who have amassed fortunes no ordinary human being can begin to understand. Fortunes in the tens of billions of dollars. And they have tremendous opportunities to give back, to give back. Bill Gates formed the Gates Foundation, which does excellent things for humanity, including vaccinations and inoculations, so desperately needed the world over, to prevent plagues in third world countries especially, and for considerable research in HIV and AIDS. Boy, is that so necessary. And food for the hungry, just to name some. Good job, Mr. Gates. There are excellent charitable works like Habitat for Humanity, the Red Cross, the Salvation Army, MD Anderson Cancer Society, what a great work. The Veterans of Foreign Wars, the Disabled American Veterans, St. Jude's Research Hospital, a wonderful organization which gives 100% of all donations to fund medical aid and research for children with cancer, who, by the way, have no insurance and cannot afford to pay for any treatment, God bless them, and so many other organizations that do so much good for mankind. There are indeed those men and women who really want to make money work and do the right thing. They, the people, want to run the charities. They want to make the decisions and accomplish the results. Most, if not all, of these charities want no part of government. Get out of the way, Obama and company. Government decision-making can in so many cases be wasteful, preferential, biased, and ineffective. Get government out of the way and do the right thing, the moral thing, the spiritual thing, the human thing, which government really cannot do. So many give up their time and ask you and me to give up our money and even our very own time with theirs. We can do so again with the aid of government, which federal and state governments allow us to deduct and consequently pay less taxes as we do more for humanity with our time and our money. Such a good thing. How much time and money do you give, my friend? Therefore, those like the Salvation Army ask aggressively and courageously for your money, so that you can join with them in their humanitarian purposes and participate by giving. And then comes the spiritual soldier at Christmas, ringing the bell, standing at the guard over the pot, which contains the gifts, asking for yours, the Salvation Army. It is good to give to them and all like them. It is good to give back, knowing that a gift will help some less fortunate than us, meeting need and spreading joy, especially at Christmas time. Even as the wise men gave the very best and most expensive gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, so should we give the very best. Give back to others. Nothing brings more joy at Christmas, or for that matter, all year long. Nothing beats the giving from a grateful heart. And you know, it's never the amount or the value of the gift, never. It is not what one gives, but why one gives. The heart directs a gift, not the head. The loving heart perfects the gift. The more the love in the heart of the donor, the more the love on the part of the donee in return. Love begets love, a sort of spiritual quid pro quo. No return can match cheerful appreciation, joyful recognition of a gift from the one receiving. That feeling of joy and gratitude can last a lifetime. Get as much of that as you can, my fellow American. And then comes the church and the synagogue, where so much giving occurs. We tithe, and we should, at a 10% benchmark, more or less. But for those with a Christian heart and the spreading of the gospel, it is often more and sometimes much more for special causes and purposes in which we wish to participate, to be part of something special beyond ourselves. There is generous, even extraordinary philanthropy in Judaism. There really is. And the fundraising done by so many Jewish organizations for worthy purposes is simply unbelievable. Many entire nations fund state-sponsored religion like Islam on the part of Saudi Arabia. Even oppressive regimes like Iran demand the faithful obedience to and worship by Islamic principles. In many cases, the individual heart seems not to matter, and it seems the giving becomes the taking in regimes like that. Whenever the heart is missing, the so-called gift, the money is corrupted and used for purposes not humanitarian or loving, but forced upon one by another. But a giver, a donor, should be careful when giving. Please be careful. There are those individuals and entities ready and willing to corrupt a gift, abuse it, and misuse it for selfish purposes. There are those who take advantage of the gift, making false representations, finding ways to manipulate and use the monies for selfish purposes or ways unintended by you, the giver. There are organizations which have large salaries for their people, considerable benefits and expenses, though perhaps legal, which indeed may be excessive. The American Red Cross, for example, pays its president and CEO some, ready for this, $651,000 annually in salary and compensation, and offers that individual an extremely large expense account in addition. That seems excessive to me, does it not to you? Very much so. I wonder what those who give so readily and generously to the American Red Cross would think of that organization if the donors knew that fact, what the CEO made. Would a donor give as much or at all? I wonder. And then there is the March of Dimes, and one pundit indicated that the organization is called the March of Dimes because for every $1 given, only approximately 10 cents, one dime, is given to the needy. How can that be? And that fact is determined by their publicly released financial statements. If that is true, that is a tragedy. And even though that can be accomplished without legal ramifications, it seems to me a clear misuse and abuse of monies given by loving, caring people, don't you think? One should know the organization and the end results, what that organization does with the money, the true results from the funds raised, and the benefit to humanity before giving. The head at work should direct the heart. Know the organization to which you give. And then there is the United Way, which pays its president $375,000 annually, plus benefits, considerable benefits and expenses. Does that seem excessive to you? Does that seem as though it were more than should be? Or perhaps a real eye-popping example on the part of a nonprofit organization is UNICEF. UNICEF. That organization pays its CEO $1,200,000 per year. Wow. The UNICEF CEO earns $100,000 per month, paid for by your money, your gifts, and in addition, considerable benefits and all expenses. And get this, the UNICEF CEO gets the use of a, ready, Rolls Royce, as the CEO goes about her business. Recent reports, well analyzed, indicate that UNICEF donates less than 5 cents, less than 5 cents of every dollar to the purposes of its cause. Well, if that's true, that's just flat out awful. Facts and figures may vary year to year, but the trend, the pattern, the process, the priorities of the misuse of funds goes on, and unfortunately without accountability. What a tragedy that gifts from well-meaning givers, loving givers, are redirected, misused, and never find their way to their ultimate purpose. Needy people. Whew. Think before you give. You know, every gift has a quid pro quo component. That is, there is benefit to the donor, the joy and fulfillment of the gift given, but more. The recipient, the donee, must get the gift as the giver intended, so that the gift can be used for the purpose intended. So often that does not happen. Gifts given even with a purpose, even with condition. Conditional gifts are often misdirected, redirected, or misused. Those who do so have little accountability and can get away with so much. And then there are so-called nonprofit organizations like the Clinton Foundation, oy vey, an entity which many think corrupt top to bottom. This Clinton organization pays enormous salaries, including excessive expenses, and otherwise uses funds as it sees fit, with so little monies delegated to its stated purposes. Those who give to the Clinton Foundation, usually wealthy individuals or corporations, and sometimes even international entities or nations, do so with an expectation of consideration and return. That is, they expect political and financial favors from the Clintons and this nonprofit organization. Nothing seems more corrupt, and nothing is a greater abuse of the nonprofit giving process than a gift which expects a political return. At its extreme, such nonprofit procedure is in fact illegal, and many think may even be criminal. But you may be certain that the Clinton Foundation, like so many others, which are self-serving, will never be really held accountable for such potential and actual illegal activities, much less the general misuse and abuse of monies given. What an organization. What a twosome those Clintons are.